This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. And as I said, we are joined by Alistair Anderson, who is normally joins us to talk about culture, but is also a member of Property Flash, or the founder of Property Flash, which brings us property news in and around South Africa, and I guess Joburg in particular. Alistair, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us on Chai FM.
Morning, Benji. Long time no chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Alistair, let's just start before we get into Johannesburg. I mean, we're talking about property issues. What is the state of property in South Africa in general at the moment?
It's kind of somewhat province-specific. So you just look at residential property, which is where, you know, a lot of people's investments are. Western Cape continues to outperform. There was a bubble around COVID, but that burst. But it's come back. Because people want to now be in the city of Cape Town, it's better run. The mayor is very visible. There obviously are problems around housing, but, you know, housing affordability for many people, but investors are enjoying the Cape. Whereas Gauteng has, it's had some resilience, but I think, and I hate to use this term, but the glaring eyesore is what's happened to the inner city really in the lead up to COVID and since COVID.
Yeah, so that has been a big talking point. Interestingly, this morning in the Daily Maverick, they had an article by Ferial Hafaji talking about the issue of the Joburg City Library, which I think there was a fire or something, and that's actually been closed now for reaching a number of years, I believe, and there's just been no movement from the city, to the extent that there was actually a protest to try and get them to move it along.
Yeah, so it's been close for a few years. I think it's about three, four years. There was a protest in Easter and like a petition saying that they need to reopen it because it's supposed to be free to access. It's supposed to be for people that study, especially people maybe that live in the inner city and don't have space at home, or, you know, they can't be on top of their parents, so they need a quiet space to learn. And it's a library, right? It's a center of learning. And they claim, no, there was a fire, and they claim that they needed to do maintenance work on it. But I think it's a case of where there's a tender going somewhere. Someone's getting a kickback on the library. It is embarrassing that South Africa doesn't have a functional, South Africa, Joburg doesn't have a functional public library. I mean, Sandton is not considered the main library, and that's basically another city in itself.
It's an interesting perspective. You said that the inner city has been the kind of eyesore of the new administration. What kind of things are we seeing in the inner city? Of course, there was that famous explosion in one of the streets there, which
in
Bree Street, which hasn't actually been repaired. What other elements are there in the city that are just making it not functional in the way that it's supposed to be?
Well, it's things like waste collection. I mean, obviously, Pick It Up went on strike not so long ago. I realize they have their reasons, and that's nationwide, but it just, you know, it kind of continues to build up in the inner city. It's things like water shortages, it's electricity, you know, provision. It's just basic infrastructure and maintenance in the inner city. Not to say that there aren't pockets that work, but yeah, people have been a bit hesitant to invest. You know, we've seen the disinvestment over years. Some things that they did try to build, like in Mabuneng, they seem to get that right, but they maybe pitched it at the wrong people. Now they've started to cater for people that are actually from the area, that stay in the area. But like, I must put my hats off to people like Diversity, that company that does a lot of residential development there. But it's just, yeah, it's just a general degradation, I think. And I think you have to, and I know we're getting to this, but you have to look at the administration and at the mayor. You can't really have a functional inner city if you've had about five mayors in how many years. And the whole thing of coalitions, as we have seen, that this hasn't quite worked in Joburg in particular. So in some ways, I feel like the current mayor, even though I think he's incompetent, he's been fighting a losing battle anyway.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because there has been, in some respects, mixture views of the mayor. Some people, as you say, consider him incompetent. Some people I've spoken to him seem to think that he's very sincere at the very least in what he thinks he wants to do. What is your perspective on the current administration in Joburg, not just the mayor, but I guess the entire mayoral committee and its focus on the city?
I don't think it's particularly impressive. If I look at my career as a journalist since 2009, Very few Joburg mayors have kind of reached out to general media. And it's almost as if, I don't know, they're scared, but also they're busy. I mean, it took me months to try to meet the previous two mayors, and rest in peace to both of them, not Imhotep Palacios' side, the other two male mayors. So no, I don't think they're very accessible for media. We saw how the mayor was quite threatening to Heidi Jacos, who was of ENCA, when she tried to interview him about things. So I think he talks the talk, you know, he talks a bit, but I haven't really seen it on the streets. Maybe he's doing some community stuff, and if I was closer to the issue, I'd see that. But I can't say I've been blown away by what they're apparently doing. I mean, there was that whole problem with, if you remember, the water, and then did someone turn the tap off or turn the tap on a few months ago, and he couldn't just admit that, you know, there's, yeah, I mean, somebody's head should have rolled there. I know I sound harsh, but I haven't been impressed by the current mayor, and it's a very difficult kind of office to access as a journalist.
Now, given all of this, I mean, they're talking about Dado Moreira coming in potentially as a successor, should current mayor be gotten rid of. Do you think that changing mayors is going to make a difference given the current situation?
Well, I suppose that's the question. You know, Nick Bauer wrote a piece, I think, for News 24 recently, where he kind of spoke about it being a poison chalice. And he's just saying that there's too many cooks in the room, you know, and with the thing with the coalition is, and I think we've seen this with GNU, you know, on a national scale, but some of these guys are trying to one up the other and maybe not necessarily function together, and it becomes very bureaucratic. So I think what you need is a public citizen, an actual public citizen who's been working in, you know, the sort of organs of the city for a long time, and maybe that's who that is. I'm not 100% you know, convinced, but I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. I think Quamanda's had his run, and I don't know, he just doesn't seem to install people with confidence. I think you need someone who's educated in the workings of the city, and because every time a mayor comes in, they have to kind of meet everybody again, right, in the high positions, and then it just draws it out. So if a mayor comes in now, it'll be in August, almost September, maybe by January next year they start going. Plus, remember that Joburg closes it in December. Obviously people live in a city, but these politicians are going to go on holiday to the Cape.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a big point. And on the longer timeline, of course, we have an election already looming. Is it 18 months, in 18 months time, 2026, something like that, right?
Yeah, that would be the local elections, the next local elections. So I don't know. I think you need clearer points on what this mayor needs to achieve, what the office needs to achieve. I mean, you just got to look at things like building plans in the inner city and in Joburg on the whole. There are very few people that are allowed to sign them off. We've had, you know, the building inspector being arrested for allegations of fraud in the past few years. I don't know. I think you need a mayor that comes and takes a clean broom and is very clear and has a very good campaign manager and has very good PR, can explain exactly what we're going to do. I mean, what are Joburg's biggest concerns? Is it electricity, water, sanitation, safety? They must let us know.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Talking today to Alistair Anderson, he is from Property Flash and our sometime cultural correspondent. I'm Benji Shulman. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, talking to Alistair Anderson today about the city of Joburg. And what's going on with the mayor beyond whether he's going to be removed or not. Now, Alistair, just talk to us a little bit about the property sector in Joburg in general. I mean, maybe we're not seeing investments in the inner city, or maybe we are in terms of like housing and that sort of thing. But are we seeing any kind of investment in the city? Generally, what are people doing when it comes to the creation of property in the city at the moment?
So again, I think housing across the greater Joburg area, that's very clearly happening. You just have to look at suburbs like Linden, where they're building homes, you know, out in towards Four Ways, pulls off. You know, people are developing apartment blocks. They are realizing that there's a demand for housing, decent housing. Obviously, affordable, different kinds of housing around Joburg. But yeah, Joburg is still the because it's the commercial center of the country. Obviously, Cape Town is trying to compete, but living in Cape Town costs a lot more, and the price of housing is higher. So There are a lot of people that are coming to Joburg, people coming from other parts of Africa, even though some people in government don't like that, and they need housing. So that's a very clear one. We're not really perhaps seeing as many shopping centers pop up as we used to, but let's be fair, we are overshopped. I mean, I think in terms of per capita in the world, we're something like number six in terms of the number of shopping centers, and some of them that have opened have had issues. You know, you just have to look at Fourways Shopping Center, which was extended back in 2019 and has had a lot of headaches. There are various reasons for it. But yeah, well, one of them is perhaps overestimating the catchment there. So retail, perhaps not. But things like logistics, properties are also being developed as we do more and more online shopping, moving goods around. You know, Amazon's come in. And even though Amazon started at their head office in Cape Town, they will, you know, open an office in Gauteng eventually. So yeah, there is some activity. I wouldn't say it's very healthy. I think property funds, developers are a little bit cautious at the moment. They had been, you know, post-COVID, there was a bit of a boom, but they had, or boost, but they had been waiting to see what happened with the election. It really was touch and go at times. And I think, you know, this GNU is still being embedded. But you just got to look at things like your Minister of Infrastructure, Public Works, and see what they can really, I suppose, catalyze. You know, for a long time, especially when Patricia de Ville was Minister of Public Works, she said they're going to try and get an asset register of what they actually own, which is a lot of stuff in terms of properties, and then see what they can do with that. Do they sell them? Do they rent them out? Do they repurpose them? So, yeah, I think there's reason for optimism. But again, I mean, maybe, you know, the other thing I haven't even mentioned is interest rates have been high, and that high interest rates make everything more expensive. It makes the cost of building more expensive, and that just makes developers wary. So maybe only mid 2025 do we really see that roll out. Unless, I don't know, maybe some Chinese developers come in here and they just start building things.
It's interesting what you're saying about the Joburg versus Cape Town dynamic, actually. You know, everyone, you used to go down to Cape Town because you wanted the lifestyle, but you understood that it was more expensive. There were no jobs. But Cape Town, I think particularly after COVID, has been able to attract people because people can now work remotely. And particularly the kind of people who would work in Johannesburg, which is essentially the financial sector, which was built on top of the gold sector and the manufacturing sector, suddenly found itself being able to shift. And I do wonder what that means for a city like Johannesburg in the future, right? Because obviously the mining sector is a much smaller part of the economy. The manufacturing sector has gotten smaller in South Africa, and the city is still bigger than Cape Town by quite some margin. But you wonder, like, if I'm looking at the city for 20 years or 50 years from now, what is, like, the actual way in which you can say as a city, like, what does it offer as its residents? Is it the weather? Is it the community? Is it what is it? And one of them, I guess, has to be that it would be a functioning entity.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you just look at the population shift in terms of Joburg and Cape Town, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's been very clear that I think it's over the last 5 years or so that, you know, Cape Town's a net kind of positive in terms of the growth of people there versus us. Joburg's actually got smaller, the population. So, and that includes, as I said, immigrants who come here from other African countries looking for work, and, you know, you can't necessarily afford to live in Cape Town. So in a few years' time, I don't know, it depends who you listen to, but people say that Cape Town's economy will be bigger. I don't know if that's quite possible, but maybe it depends on what things like minerals and what they can, I don't know, shale gas, what they can get in Cape Town. But what draws people to Cape Town? Well, it's cleaner, the city, it's cleaner. Seems like I suppose government officials are more responsive. Your municipalities are more responsive. You know, I've done work with a group called the Cape Town Central City Improvement District, or CCID, which works alongside the city and private sector to just help with things like cleaning, security, investment, promotion, etc. It's a concept which was started in the 60s, this whole CID back in Chicago. And at the same time, in as my time as a journalist, I've never been approached by one CID except in Joburg, except for the Sandton CID once. And they approached me because they were doing something with traffic lights around COVID. Just after COVID, they were going to, and load shedding, they were going to show that the traffic lights near Investec were always on. So I think it's a number of factors, but just from a local government level, Cape Town just seems to stand out better. Maybe it's a better PR machine also. You know, it's also clear that they have severe problems with affordable housing for people that actually are from Cape Town. But it, you know, you just have to be in the one inner city and then in the other, and you can see the difference. Yeah, I don't know, the mayor there, Jordan Hill Lewis, he's got a really good mayoral staff, and he's good on media. Whereas, you know, here we just can't seem to bed one down. I don't know if it's also that people that work in the Cape Town government are trying to work together a bit more than here. I'm not sure. I've also heard that the bylaws are different for SIDS in Joburg and Cape Town. But yeah, we need a lot of better organization in Joburg.
Well, there you go. Certainly certainly a lot to think about. Alistair Anderson, you regularly update people on property. If they want to go check that out, how do they do that?
Yeah, so Property Flash is my bread and butter. The website is propertyflash.co.za. We have regular articles in there. We also do paid features for clients, and we send out a regular newsletter. Lastly, we have a podcast called Another Brick in the Wall, which comes out every Wednesday evening or so and can be accessed online. And the link is on my website. Thanks, Benji.
Oh, there you go. Alistair Anderson chatting to us about property in the city and what are some of the constraints that we have, and whether this new mayor, if he's going to last for the next week, what the new guy might actually have to think about if he wanted to actually get something going with all of this. So there we go. That is Alistair Anderson.